تستمر حتى ترجع إلى دينكم. فالآن الرجوع إلى الدين وهو الإسلام هو العداد. بأي مفهوم الآن نرجع؟ أبي مفهوم السلف أم الخلف؟ هذه خطة لابد من الدخول فيها. أبي مفهوم المعتزلة أم الماتريدية أم الأشاعرة أم الشيعة أم الرافضة؟ هذه حقائق موجودة. لا نستطيع أن نقول كما يقال عن النعامة أنها من بلاهتها وغفلتها أنها إذا رأت الصائد أدخلت رأسها في الرمال، فإنها تزعم أنها ما دامت لا ترى الصياد فالصياد لا يراها. هذا مثل، الله أعلم بحقيقة هذا الحيوان، لكن المهم مثل. فلا يصح لنا أن نتغافل عن هذا الواقع المؤلم. فماذا يفعل هذا المريض؟ مريض إذا تبايعتم بالعين إلى آخر الحديث، هذا معناه أن الأم المسلمة مريضة. فما هو العلاج؟ الرجوع إلى الدين. بأي مفهوم؟ لذلك نحن نجدد ونحيا على هذه الدعوة ونموت عليها، لا نرضى بها بديلا أبدا. كتاب الله
قال، يقول: إلى متى يا فضيلة الشيخ يجلس العلماء ويقولون هذا حديث صحيح وهذا لا يصح وهذه سنة وهذه بدعة؟ بمعنى أن المنهج السلفي طريقه طويلة وأعداء الله لنا بالمرصاد، فألا يمكن اختصار هذه الطريق؟
Question asked: how long are the ulama going to sit around saying this is sahih and this hadith is not sahih and this is sunnah and this is bid'ah, with the meaning that the manhaj of the salaf, its road is lengthy and the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is lay waiting us. So is it not possible to shorten this road?
هذا السؤال باللغة السورية يسلم على السؤال الأول، وجوابي على هذا حديث نبوي صحيح. كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم جالسا مع أصحابه حين خط على الأرض خط مستقيمة وخط خطوطا على جانبي الخط المستقيم خطوطا قصيرة، ثم تلا قول ربنا تبارك وتعالى: وأن هذا صراطي مستقيما فاتبعوه ولا تتبعوا السبل فتفرق بكم عن سبيله. هذا السائل والذي قبله وما أكثرهم في هذا العصر، والسبب أنهم تركوا منهج السلف الصالح وأخذوا يتمسكون بإسلام لا مفهوم له في أذهانهم أبدا. إنما إسلام لا إله إلا الله. أما إيش معنى لا إله إلا الله؟ فلا يعرفون، كبارهم لا يعرفون حقيقة معنى لا إله إلا الله، فضلا عن صغارهم مع الأسف الشديد. ثم مر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بإصبعه على هذا الخط المستقيم وقرأ الآية الكريمة: وأن هذا صراطي مستقيما فاتبعوه ولا تتبعوا السبل فتفرق بكم عن سبيله. ثم قال: هذه الطرق، الطرق القصيرة على جانبي الطريق المستقيم الطويل، وأن أقول الطويل من عندي بيانا للرسم النبوي بما سأذكره قريبا. وقال عليه السلام: هذه الطرق أي قصيرة، وعلى رأس كل طريق منها شيطان يدعو الناس إليه. أنا أستطيع أن أقول غير مبالغ إن مثل هذه الدعايات اليوم، ألم نكتفي أن نقول حديث صحيح وضعيف وسني وبدعة وفرقة وإلى آخره؟ هذه هي الطرق القصيرة، هي بذاتها. لو جاز لي أن أقول إن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان فنانا أي مصورا بارعا لقلت ذلك، ولكن هو أرفع من أن شبهه بالفنانين أو المصورين، لأنه عليه الصلاة والسلام لما رسم على الأرض خطا طويلا وقرأ الآية الكريمة وأن هذا صراطي مستقيما فاتبعوه ولا تتبعوا السبل أي الطرق القصيرة، لقد رسم الخط الذي ينبغي أن يمشي عليه المسلم ألا وهو الخط المستقيم الطويل، وخط حوله خطوطا قصيرة التي يجب على المسلم ألا يسلكها وأن لا رقها. هذا ما نسمعه اليوم كما سمعتم آنفا في هذا السؤال، إلى متى ونحن نمشي؟ إلى متى ونحن نمشي؟ حسبنا أن نكون ماشين وسالكين على الطريق المستقيم، أما متى نصل الأمر بيد الله تبارك وتعالى. لذلك هم يستطيلون الخط هذا المستطيل الطويل، يجدونه طويلا، وهل ربنا عز وجل كلفنا بأكثر من شيئين اثنين؟ أولا أن نعلم، فاعلم أنه لا إله إلا الله، وثانيا أن نعمل، كبر مقتا عند الله أن تقولوا ما لا تفعلون. فإذا سار المسلم في طريق العلم كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام من سلك طريقا يلتمس فيه علما سلك الله به طريقا إلى الجنة، مهما طال هذا الطريق فلسنا مكلفين أن نأخذ يمينا ويسارا ونسلك الطرق القصيرة بزعم أن هذه الطرق القصيرة هي التي ستؤدي بهم إلى تحقيق الإسلام. ساء ما يظنون، ساء ما يقولون، إن الإسلام كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام حفت الجنة بالمكاره وحفت النار بالشهوات. ففي طالة بعض الناس اليوم هذه الدعوة التي ندعو إلى الكتاب والسنة ونحذر من البدعة، ماذا يعنون؟ أن تعبد الله كيفما شئت أو كيفما جهلت، أم يجب أن تعمل كما قال تعالى فاعلم أنه لا إله إلا الله ثم أن تعمل بما علمك الله؟ الحقيقة أن مثل هذه الأسئلة وحدها نذير شر لهؤلاء الذين بعد لم يفقهوا أن واجبهم التعلم للإسلام والعمل بالإسلام مهما طال الطريق. ويعجبني بهذه المناسبة كما ذكرت في بعض الجلسات السابقة قول أحد الشعراء الجاهليين، أحد شعراء الجاهلية قال كلمة ينبغي أن يأخذ منها المسلمون اليوم عبرة، حيث قال بكى صاحبي لما رأى الدرب دونه وظن أن وأيقن بأن لاحقين بقيصرة، فقلت له لا تبكي عينك إنما نحاول ملكا أو نموت فنعذرا. هذا رجل جاهلي يواسي أخاه يقول لا تبكي عينك إنما نحاول ملكا أو نموت فنعذرا، نحن نحاول أن نمشي على الطريق الذي أمرنا. هذا الرجل الجاهلي يواسي أخاه يقول لا تبكي عينك إنما نحاول ملكا أو نموت فنعذرا، نحن نحاول أن نمشي على الطريق الذي أمرنا الله عز وجل. ثم استطعنا أن نحقق الدولة الإسلامية فبها ونعمت، وذلك فضل من الله، وهو القائل إن تنصروا الله ينصركم، وإن لم نستطع أن نصل إلى ذلك فحسبنا أننا قد أعذرنا وقدمنا ما عندنا من استطاعة، ولا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. فإذا نحن علينا أن نمشي على الطريق. ومن عجب أن هذه الآية التي يعلمها كل الناس عامتهم كخاصتهم إن تنصروا الله ينصر، هذه الآية وحدها لو وقفوا عندها لما تورطوا بتوجيه مثل هذه الأسئلة. إيش معنى إن تنصروا الله ينصركم؟ يعني جهز جيش دافع عن رب العالمين؟ طبعا ما أحد يقول بهذا الجهل، وإنما إن تنصروا الله أي إن أخذتم بشريعة الله وطبقتموها نصركم الله عز وجل على أعدائكم. نحن الآن نسمع أصواتا عالية وفيها الحماس الذي يعميهم عن الأصل وهو الدعوة للجهاد، ولا أحد من المسلمين ينكر فرضية الجهاد وبخاصة الجهاد في أفغانستان، ولكن من الذين خوطبوا بقوله تعالى وأعدوا لهم ما استطعتم من قوة؟ أعدوا لهم أنتم أيها المسلمون المختلفون المختلفون في أسمى عقيدة وهي الله تبارك وتعالى، لا تزالون تختلفون وبين أيديكم كتاب الله وسنة رسول الله ومنهج السلف الصالح، هؤلاء لا يستطيع أن يجاهدوا. أنا أقولها بصراحة، ما زال المسلمون مختلفين هكذا حتى لا يعبؤون أن ينصروا الله بالعلم النافع والعمل الصالح فسوف لا ينصرهم الله، لأن الله عز وجل لا يخلف وعده. إن تنصروا الله ينصركم ويثبت أقدامكم. والحديث في هذا المجال كبير وكثير وكثير جدا. حديث واحد الآن أذكره لكم، كيف ينتصر المسلمون وهم قد صدق فيهم ما جاء في هذا الحديث من النبأ.
The Sheikh said, this question with the language of Surya gives glad tidings to the first question. And my answer to this is the prophetic hadith that's sahih. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sitting with the companions, with his companions, when he made a straight line on the ground. And he made different lines on the two sides of the straight line, two short lines. Then he recited the verse that this is my straight path. He said, follow it and do not follow the different ways, because you will become divided away from the path. The questioner and the one before him, he says, how plentiful they are in these times. And the reason is they have left off the manhaj of the Salaf al-Salih and began holding on to Islam, which has no understanding in their minds whatsoever. As for Islam, it is La ilaha illallah. As for the meaning of La ilaha illallah, the most knowledgeable of them do not know the meaning of La ilaha illallah, much less those who are not knowledgeable, unfortunately. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed his finger over the straight line and read the noble ayat, as we said before, that this is my straight way, to the end of the ayat. Then he said, these lines which are short on both sides of the long line, and I'm saying long for myself as an official prophetic clarification because of what I will mention. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and these ways, meaning the short ways, meaning the short lines, at the head of all of them, the devil is calling the people to it. I'm able to say without going overboard, really the example of these claims today. Didn't you stop saying this is this hadith is sahih, and it's da'if, weak, and it's sunnah, and it's bid'ah, and it's furqa, different sects, to the end. These are the short lines. He said, these are the short lines itself. if it's permissible for me to say that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to be a skillful artist. I would say that, but he's above being resembled to a skillful artist, because when he drew on the ground a long line and he said the noble verse that this is my straight path and follow it, do not follow other than it, to the end of the ayat, the Shaykh, he goes on to say, do not follow the different ways, meaning the short lines. Really, he drew the lines that is a must that the Muslim follows. Meaning here that he drew the long line, and this is the long straight line that the Muslim is supposed to follow. And he drew the short lines, that which the Muslim is not supposed to follow. The Shaykh continues, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, today we hear, how long are we going to be walking? Meaning these people, they want results. He goes on to say, it's enough for us to be upon a straight path as for when we're going to reach the affairs with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because of that, they make the line long. They find it long. And our Lord did not burden us with that. He didn't burden us with more than two things. Firstly, to know that فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ, to know that there is no deity except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And secondly, to do good deeds. As the Shaykh, he recited the ayat, which means how tremendous is an affair, how grievous is an affair with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of those who say which they do not do. So, if a Muslim starts out in the way of knowledge, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, whoever seeks out or sets out on a road and he finds in it knowledge, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make his way easy to Jannah, to the paradise, no matter how long this road is. Just as we are not burdened to take right and left, take the short way with the belief that they are what will help us or allow us to establish Islam. How evil is that, what they are thinking, and how evil is that which they are saying. Indeed, Islam is like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. He said, the Jannah, the paradise, is filled with those things that's noble, good things, and the fire of those things are filled with those things which are of shahawat, of those of desire. The Shaykh, he goes on to say, and some of the people today say that this da'wah which we are calling to, the kitab and the sunnah, warring against bid'ah, what do they mean? Is it to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Do they mean to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the way you want, or as ignorant as you want? It is a must to worship the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ, know for certainty that there is no deity except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then act, as the Shaykh was going to say, then act with that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have taught you. He says, actually, these questions by itself and the example of them are a vower to evil. For those who are after them, they do not understand that the wajib for them is to learn Islam and act upon Islam no matter how long the road is. And it pleases me in this occasion the way I mentioned in some of the sittings in the past, the saying of some of the poets of Jahiliyyah. Now the Shaykh, he brings a poetry from Jahiliyyah which summarized meaning. He said that a word which is a must that the Muslims today take from it some kind of consideration. He said that my companion cried when he saw that he was losing, and he thought something more or less that he would reach to maybe the kinship of Caesar. So I said to him, don't let your eyes cry. Verily, we will try to get to the kingship or we will die and be excused. This man, this ignorant man, gives his friend a talk not to let his eyes cry, that we will try to get to the kingship or we will die and be excused. We are trying to go along that road which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us. Then if we are able to establish an Islamic country, then that's good, and that's a virtue from Allah. And He is the one saying, "In tansurullaha yansurukum," that if you all help Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He will help you. And if we are not able to attain that, it is enough for us to use our excuses. And we did what? We had the ability to. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the ayah, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that He does not burden a soul more than it can bear. Therefore, it is on us to go down the road. What's strange is that this verse, which everyone knows it, all of the peoples, those who are specific and those who are general, that if you help Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then He will help you. This ayah alone, they stopped. They wouldn't present the example of this. If they stopped, this ayah alone, if they were to stop, they wouldn't have presented the example of these questions. What is the meaning? If you help Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then He will help you. Does an army come to defend the Lord of the world? Of course not. No one says this ignorance. If you take the legislation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and practice it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help you against your enemies. We now hear voices, really over excessive voices, that blind them of the foundations. And it is the da'wah of jihad. And none from the Muslims deny the obligation of jihad, especially jihad in Afghanistan. Of course, we have to make a note here, this was not the thing that just happened, this was the war between Russia, as he said before. The Sheikh, he goes on to say, but who is the one who has memorized the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which means that you are to prepare for them that which you have the ability, to the best of your ability, from strength. The Sheikh, he goes on to say, he says, prepare for them, all you different Muslims. Different in the name of Aqidah, and He is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you are still different. And at hand is the Book of Allah, the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah, and the manhaj of the Salaf al-Salih. The Sheikh, he goes on to say, those people, meaning those people who are divided like that, they cannot make jihad. He says, I'm clearly saying it. The Muslims are still divided like that. He said, until they refuse the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, beneficial knowledge and good deeds, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not helping them, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not have a successor after Him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the ayah, إِن تَنْصُرُ اللَّهَ يَنْصُرُكُمْ وَيُثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَكُمْ, that if you all help Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will help you and He will establish your feet firm. And the hadith in this area is tremendous and plentiful, very plentiful. One hadith with I will mention for you. How are the Muslims going to have the victory? And verily, that which comes regarding the news of them in this hadith.
إذا تبايعتم بالعينة وأخذتم أذناب البقر ورضيتم بالزرع وتركتم الجهاد في سبيل الله سلط الله عليكم ذلا لا ينزعه عنكم حتى ترجعوا إلى دينكم. هذا السائل والذي قبله لا يريدنا أن نرجع إلى الدين الذي هو العلاج. لقد وصف النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في هذا الحديث الصحيح مرض المسلمين في بعض نواحيه، وقدم العلاج الناصع القاطع لهذا المرض الوبيل. أما المرض فقد ذكر بعض أنواعه الخطيرة، فقال عليه الصلاة والسلام: إذا تبايعتم بلينة وأخذتم أذناب البقر ورضيتم بالدرع وتركتم الجهاد في سبيل الله سلط الله عليكم ذلا لا ينزعه عنكم حتى ترجعوا إلى دينكم. كل فقرة من هذه الفقرات الأربع أو كل علة من هذه العلل الأربع تحتاج إلى وقفة، ووقفة طويلة، لكن حسبي الآن العلة الأولى وهي إذا تبايعتم بالعينة. العينة اليوم قد عمت وطمت البلاد الإسلامية، ومع ذلك يريدون الجهاد. تعرفوا ما هي العينة؟ العينة مشتقة من عين الشيء، ذات الشيء، وهو أن يباع الشيء وهو في أرضه بثمنين اثنين، ثمن الأقل وثمن الأكثر، ثمن الأكثر وثمن الأقل، وهو أن يأتي الرجل إلى تاجر سيارات مثلا يريد أن يحظى ب50,000 ريال، وبسبب التفكك الموجود اليوم بين أفراد المسلمين الذين ترفع أصوات بعض الناس الدعاة المتحمسين يأمرونهم بالجهاد في سبيل الله وهم متفتتون متفرقون أشد تفرق، يريد أحدهم أن يستقرض 50,000 ريال فلا يجد من يقرضه قرضا حسنا لله عز وجل، فماذا يفعل؟ يحتال. ومع من يحتال؟ مع المحتال. يأتي إلى التاجر الكبير فيقول: أنا أبغى أشتري هذه السيارة، كم ثمنها بالتقسيط؟ يقول: 50,000. يقول: أنا أشتريها لكن أنا أبغى أبيعك إياها نقدا، بكم؟ يشتريها منه 40-35، مش مهم الموضوع، فيأخذ 40 مقابل ماذا؟ مقابل 50,000. هذا هو بيع العين. ثم يحتال بعض الناس فيدخلون وسيطا في الموضوع، يأتي إلى تاجر كبير ليس عنده السيارة التي يريدها، عنده أموال كثيرة، يطلب منه 50,000 ريال قرض لله، يقول: روح اشتري السيارة هذه وأنا أدفعها لك ثمنا. فيروح اشتري السيارة ب50,000 ريال تسجل عليه 50,000، والتاجر الغني يدفع 40,000 للتاجر تاجر السيارات فيسجل عليه 50,000. كل هذا احتيال، احتيال على أكل ما حرم الله من الربا. ذكر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في هذا الحديث علة من العلل التي أصيب بها المسلمون اليوم، أما بقية العلل فهي واضحة لديكم، لكن العين هذه لا يزال كثير من العلماء يفتون بجوازها، والرسول يقول: إذا تبايعتم بلينة وأخذتم أذناب البقر ورضيتم بالزرع وتركتم الجهاد في سبيل الله. هذه علل الثلاث الأخرى واضحة لديكم، فإذا ضمت إليها العلل الأخرى ماذا تكون العاقبة لهؤلاء الناس الذين يعرضون عن تطبيق الأحكام الشرعية، منها عدم التكالب على الدنيا وعدم استحلال ما حرم الله بأدنى الحيل، ومنها ترك الجهاد في سبيل الله. العقوبة في الدنيا قبل الآخرة سلط الله عليكم ذلا لا ينزع عنكم حتى ترجعوا إلى دينكم. الدواء العلاج الرجوع إلى الدين. يجب أن نقف قليلا عند هذا العلاج النبوي ألا وهو الرجوع إلى الدين. نقول لهؤلاء السائلين هدانا الله وإياهم، أي دين أمرنا رسول الله أن نرجع إليه؟ لا شك هو ما قاله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن الكريم، إن الدين عند الله الإسلام. ولكن يأتي هنا سؤال، الإسلام اليوم له مفاهيم، وقد عرف هؤلاء السائلون هذا الاختلاف الموجود اليوم، ولكنهم ضاقوا ذرعا بسبب جهلهم وقلة صبرهم، ضاقوا ذرعا بهذا الاختلاف. ألا يمكن تأجيل الاختلاف وأن نقابل أعداء الله؟ لا يمكن، لأن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قد قال إذا فعلتم كذا وكذا وكذا سلط الله عليكم الذل حتى ترجعوا إلى دينكم. هذه مفهوم السلف أم الخلف؟ هذه خطة لا بد من الدخول فيها. أبي مفهوم المعتزلة أم الماتريدية أم الأشاعرة أم الشيعة أم الرافضة؟ هذه حقائق موجودة، لا نستطيع أن نقول كما يقال عن النعامة أنها من بلاهتها وغفلتها أنها إذا رأت الصائد أدخلت رأسها في الرمال، فإنها تزعم أنها ما دامت لا ترى الصياد فالصياد لا يراها. هذا مثل، الله أعلم بحقيقة هذا الحيوان، لكن المهم مثل. فلا يصح لنا أن نتغافل عن هذا الواقع المؤلم. فماذا يفعل هذا المريض؟ مريض إذا تبايعت بالعين إلى آخر الحديث، هذا معناه أن الأم المسلمة مريضة. فما هو العلاج؟ الرجوع إلى الدين. بأي مفهوم؟ لذلك نحن نجدد ونحيا على هذه الدعوة ونموت عليها، لا نرضى بها بديلا أبدا. كتاب الله وسنة نبيه وعلى منهج السلف الصالح. أخيرا أقول، قال عليه الصلاة والسلام: تركت فيكم أمرين لن تضلوا ما إن تمسكتم بهما، كتاب الله وسنتي، ولا يتفرقا حتى يرد علي الحوض. لعل في هذه ذكرى لهؤلاء السائلين هدانا الله وإياهم سواء سبيل. تفضل.
The Shaykh, he goes on, the hadith which he's speaking about of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, إِذَا تَبَايَعْتُمْ بِالْعَيْنَ وَأَخَذْتُمْ أَذْنَابَ الْبَقْرِ وَرَضِيتُمْ بِالزَّرْعِ وَتَرَكْتُمُ الْجِهَادِ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ سَلَّطَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمْ ذُلًّا لَا يَنْزِعُهُ عَنْكُمْ حَتَّى تَرْجِعُوا إِلَى دِينِكُمْ. He said that, as is translated, that if you buy, if you do the business transaction, that's ayna, that's like riba, usury, or you've taken on to the tails of the baqar, the cows, meaning here that you've become amused with the dunya in that sense, and you have become, you're pleased with the zara, you're pleased with the crops and so forth like that, and you've left off the jihad and the pleasure in the way of Allah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send down a humiliation on you, that He will not remove this humiliation until you return to your deen. So, the Shaykh he goes on to say, this questioner and the one before him, he does not want us to return back to the religion, which is the remedy. Verily the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he described in this hadith, in the Sahih hadith, the sickness of some of the Muslims, which is in stages. And he presented the tremendous remedy. As for the sickness, verily, he has mentioned some of the dangerous types. As he said in the hadith, إِذَا تَبَايَعْتُمْ بِالْأَيْنَ وَأَخَذْتُمْ أَذْنَابَ الْبَقَرِ وَرَدِيتُمْ بِالزَّرْعِ وَتَرَكْتُمُ الْجِهَادِ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ صَلَّتَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمْ ذُلًّا لَا يَنْزِعُهُ عَنْكُمْ حَتَّى تَرْجِعُوا إِلَى دِينِكُمْ. That, as we said, translated before, that if you do the transactions that has usury in it, riba, or you are become amused, or you hold on to your baqar, your cows, your livestock and so forth like that, you're amused with your crops, your plantation, or you leave off the jihad in the way of Allah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send down a humiliation that he will not remove it from you until you return back to your deen. The Shaykh, he goes on to explain, he said all of these sickness from the four needs a stop, meaning all of them need some kind of explanation, a long stopping to explain exactly what is going on with them. But he said it's enough for me in this first weakness you'll find in the hadith is enough for him to stop on that, and that is إِذَا تَبَايَعْتُمْ بِالْأَيْنَةِ, that if you do this transaction of usury. He said this transaction here has today become general and is made, and the Muslim countries, they have become assured with this. Meaning here, he said, it has become a regular thing now. The Shaykh, he's saying here, and in that state they want jihad. Do you know what this ayna is? He says the origin of it is that it's something that is sold, and it has two different situations. There's two different prices here, he's meaning here, that's involved. Now the Shaykh, he's saying that there's a lesser price and there's a greater price. Now he says here now, he says a man, he comes to a car salesman. For example, he says. He says to the car salesman that he wants to buy this car. He wants to buy it for 50,000 riyal. And he's using some kind of, you know, reasoning that, you know, the Muslims are disunited, they're not united, and so forth like that. Nevertheless, he's saying, this man, and he said, you'll have some of these people from the du'at. You find those people too from the du'at. That's ordering the people with jihad in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said, they are divided to the utmost division. He says here, we're returning back to the story of this man. He says, one, he wants to borrow 50,000 riyal, and he does not find anyone who will give him this beautiful loan for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what does he do? What does who do? This man who came to buy this car, as we said in the beginning. What does he do? He goes into trickery. And he goes to the one who will do that trickery. He goes to the big businessman. He says to him, I want to buy a car. What is the price on payment? This is the two situations that he's getting to here. He says it's 50,000 on payment. He says, now he explains that I want to buy it cash. What is the price? How much is it? He says it's 40,000. The seller of the car now is explaining that it's 40,000 or 35,000. He's just giving an example. He's saying it's not important for the subject here. He says, the man that wants to buy the car, he takes the 40,000 in return for the 50,000. He said, this is what's called bay'ul aynam. This is what's the transaction of usury. He says, then some people, they do the trickery also. This is another example. He said, what do? They bring someone as a go-between in the situation. He says, the big businessman, he does not have the car that this person wants, but he has a lot of money. So the man who wants the car, he asks him for 50,000 riyal as a loan for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The big businessman tells him, go and buy this car and I will pay the total price, all of it. So he goes and buy the car for 50,000. 50,000 is recorded on him. But as we remember now, before he said, when you buy cash, you get a lower price. You're going to get a different price. So the rich businessman, he pays 40,000 riyal for the car, to the car dealer. Okay? But 50,000 is written on the buyer of the car. So in actuality, if you look into it, you understand from that the big businessman gave him a loan for 50,000. He paid it directly to the car dealer. But he only paid 40,000 because he paid cash. So the big businessman is making 10,000 riyal as a profit in this, but in actuality, only thing he loaned the man, in actuality, if you look into it, is 40,000, because that's all he paid for the car. So the Shaykh is saying that 50,000 is written on him as a loan. He says all of this is ihtiyal, is basically some sort of embellishment. It's from the using of interest which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made haram. He said the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned this illah from the illal, this weakness from the different weaknesses which the Muslims are affected with today. As for the rest of the illal, it is clear to you all, but this ayna, a lot of scholars unfortunately are still are given fatwa that it is permissible. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you make these purchases, these transactions of usury, of riba, or you hold on, you take to your cattle, or you're pleased with your agriculture, or you leave off the jihad in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send down a humiliation upon you, that He will not remove it until you return back to your deen. These three ilal, these three witnesses are clear to you. And if the other ilal is comprised with it, what will the result be of those people who turned away from the application of the legislative rulings, not fearing or not fiercely struggling for the dunya, and not making halal what Allah has made haram, because it is a sort of embellishment, like we said. And for it, leaving off jihad in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this results in the dunya before the last day, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send down on you humiliation, and He will not remove it from you until you return to your religion. The Shaykh goes on to say here, the remedy, the cure, is returning to the religion. It's a must that we stop a little bit in this. He says we have to stop here, do a little pondering. In this, the prophetic cure which returning to the deen, we will say to those questioners, may Allah guide us and them. He says, what deen is this that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commands us to return to? So what is this deen? He said, without a doubt it is what Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says in the Quran, إِنَّ الدِّينَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الْإِسْلَامِ. Really, the only religion with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Islam. But a question comes here. Islam today has different understandings, and those questioners know this difference that's present today, but they are not up to it, meaning they don't have the ability, because they are weak, because of their ignorance, because of their lack of knowledge. Their ability is weak. They don't have the ability because of this difference. No, they say, isn't it not possible to put off the different, to confront the enemies of Allah? The Shaykh, he says here, it is not possible, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you do so and so, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send down on you. He will send down on you a humility until you return back to your religion. So now the returning to the deen, to the religion, it is Islam that is the cure. With what understanding are we returning with that? To what understanding are we returning upon? Is it the understanding of the Salaf or the Khalaf? He said, the Shaykh, he said, this speech is a must that we enter into it, meaning the speech regarding the deen. What deen, I mean, what understanding? He says, or is it the understanding of the Mu'tazila? Or is it the understanding of the Maturidiyya? Is it the understanding of the Asha'ira? Is it the understanding of the Shia? Is it the understanding of the Rafidah? Is that these realities are present? We are not able to say, like it said regarding the ostrich, that this is its test and its heedlessness. That if she saw the hunter, she puts her head in the sand and she thinks as long as she doesn't see the hunter does not see her. This is a saying. Allah knows best the reality of this animal. But what's important is it's not correct for us to pretend that we do not know of these hurtful affairs. So what does he do, the sick one? As we have in the hadith, إِذَا تَبَيَعْتُمْ بِالْأَيْنَمْ, if you do this transaction of usury, of riba, this means that the Muslim nation is sick. So what is the cure? Returning to the deen. With what understanding, as the Shaykh is saying, with what understanding do we return? Because of that, we continuously speak and we live on this da'wah. And we are dying upon it. We are not pleased with them, those people, the Mu'tazil and those people upon misguidance. We are not pleased with that as a religion. Never will we be pleased with it. The Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's saying this is what we're pleased with. On the manhaj of the righteous predecessors. He says here, lastly, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I have left you upon two things that you will not be, or you will not go astray if you hold on to them. Is the Book of Allah and His Sunnah. And you will not be divided, or you will not divide until you come upon me at the hawd, at the pond, or at the lake, Yawm al-Qiyamah. And the Shaykh, he goes on to say here at the end of this answer that I hope this is a reminder for those questioners. May Allah guide us and guide them to the correct path.
في ضوء ما ذكرتم هناك جملة يقولون فيها أقيموا دولة الإسلام في قلوبكم تقم لكم في أرضكم. كيف ترون توجيه هذه الكلمة خصوصا وأن كثيرا من العاملين في الدعوة يرون ذلك يرون العمل السياسي في هذه الأيام.
In the light of what was mentioned, there's a sentence which they say, أَقِيمُوا دَوْلَةَ الْإِسْلَامِ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ تَقُمْ لَكُمْ فِي أَرْضِكُمْ, basically meaning to establish the Islamic country in your heart and it will be established in your lands. What is your view of these instructive words, especially in these times and days where you have a lot of people in da'wah? They see being in politics as something being okay these days.
من العجيب أن هذه الكلمة أرجو ألا تكون رمية من غير رام, لأن هذه الكلمة خرجت من بعض الدعاة الذين يتمسكون بمنهجهم, هؤلاء الدعاة السياسيون اليوم. هذه الكلمة تنسب إما لحسن البنا أو الهضيبي رحمه الله. هذه الكلمة كلمة حق, ولكن أتباع هذين الرجلين قد أعرضوا عنها ولم يعملوا بها, وهي من الحكمة بمكان عال جدا. أقيموا دولة الإسلام في قلوبكم تقم لكم في أرضكم. هذا هو خلاصة المحاضرات التي نلقيها نحن, أن نتعلم العلم النافع وأن نعمل بالعمل الصالح, وحينئذ يأتي النصر من الله تبارك وتعالى. هذه الكلمة خلاصة كل الآيات والأحاديث التي تأمر بالعلم وبالعمل الصالح. لكن الذين يشتغلون اليوم وقد مضى عليهم أكثر من نصف قرن من الزمان لا يزالون في مكانهم يتحركون ولا يقدمون شيئا ولا يتقدمون. لماذا؟ لأنهم لم يطبقوا هذه الكلمة. أقيموا دولة الإسلام في قلوبكم. قبل كل شيء, ما الذي يفهم من هذه الكلمة؟ أي العقيدة الصحيحة أقيموها في قلوبكم. ثم من تمام العقيدة وقل اعملوا فسيرى الله عملكم ورسوله ثم تردون إلى عالم الغيب والشهادة ينبئكم بما كنتم تعملون. فإذن هذه الكلمة ندعو المسلمين جميعا أن يعملوا بها ولا ينصرفوا عنها بما يسمونه بالعمل السياسي، لأني أعتقد أن العمل السياسي ليس هذا أوانه الآن، وهو لا بد منه بلا شك، كما أنه لا بد من العمل، لكن قبل كل هذا العلم. العلم بدون عمل لا يفيد، والعمل بدون علم لا يفيد، لا بد من الأمرين كليهما. ولذلك ففي بعض كلمات قديمة ولا زال أكررها، أنا أقول لا نهضة للمسلمين إلا بتحقيق أساسين اثنين: التصفية والتربية. التصفية والتربية، يظن بعض الناس أن التصفية لا قيمة لها، وقد عرفت مما سبق أنها هي أصل الإسلام. التصفية، تصفية الإسلام من كل ما دخل فيه سواء من عقائد، وقد أشرنا إلى بعضها آنفا، أو ما دخل في التفسير من الإسرائيليات والأحاديث الموضوعات الباطلات، وما دخل في كتب الفقه من الآراء المخالفة للكتاب والسنة، ما دخل في سلوك المسلمين من الغلو في الزهد في الدنيا وما يسمى بالتصوف، وقد وصل بهم الأمر إلى جحد الله عز وجل باعتقاد أن لا شيء إلا هذا الكون، إلى آخر ما هنالك من أمور دخلت الإسلام وهي محسوبة أنها من الإسلام، لا بد من إجراء هذه التصفية. لو كان هناك عشرات المئات من علماء المسلمين موزعين في أرض الإسلام لتطلب جهدهم هذا سنين طويلة حتى يعود المسلمون إلى ما كان عليه السلف الصالح من الفهم الصحيح للكتاب والسنة مقرونا بالعمل. وهذا الذي أعني بالتربية. قد يتوهم بعض الناس كما سمعت في بعض التجاريس أن التربية لا شأن لها بالجهاد. الجهاد هو من الأحكام الشرعية ويجب العمل بالجهاد، ولكن الجهاد يحتاج إلى إعداد، وأول إعداد ينبغي أن يتحقق في المسلمين هو العقيدة الصحيحة والعمل الصالح والإعداد بقدر الاستطاعة، ولا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها.
This is from that which is strange, that these words, I hope that this is not a shot by an unskilled shooter, because these words came from some of the du'at who hold on to their manhaj of politics, the politicians today. These words are connected to Hassan al-Banna and someone the Sheikh mentioned here that wasn't clear. May Allah have mercy on them. These words are true, but the followers of these two men did not act upon it. And it is from wisdom from a high place. As they say, the saying, أَقِيمُوا دَوْلَةَ الْإِسْلَامِ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ تَقُمْ لَكُمْ فِي أَرْضِكُمْ, as we translated that before, to mean that to establish a Islamic country in your heart and you will be able, or it will be established in your lands. This is the summary of the talk we gave, is to learn beneficial knowledge, do good deeds, and then the victory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come. These words are a conclusion to all of the hadiths and ayats ordering knowledge and good deeds. But concerning those words today, barely a half a century have passed these people by, and they are still in the same place, moving around. They did not present anything, and they are not moving forward. Why? Because they did not practice this word, أَقِيمُوا دَوْلَةَ الْإِسْلَامِ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ, to establish the Islamic country in your heart. Before everything, what is understood from this word? the correct aqeedah established in your heart, then from the completion of aqeedah, then the Shaykh rahimahullah ta'ala, he recited the ayat. The ayat meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger will observe your deeds. In the end, you will be brought back to the all-knower of the scene. Therefore, the Shaykh, he goes on to say, this word, we call the Muslims, all of them, to work with it and do not turn away from it, to that which came to the works of politicians. Because I believe that this is not the time for politics, but it is a must, meaning politics, like it is a must to do deeds, but knowledge is a must before it. Knowledge without deeds does not benefit, and deeds without knowledge does not benefit. So it is a must to have the two affairs, meaning knowledge and deeds. So because of that, in some old words, and I am still going to repeat it, I'm saying there is no awakening for the Muslims except with the establishment of the two basics, at-tasfiyah wa tarbiyah, meaning the cleansing and then the upbringing upon that, which is correct. Some of the people say that tasfiyah has no value. They say that tasfiyah, meaning the cleansing of Islam, has no value. And you know from what was previous that it is the origin of Islam. The Shaykh, he went on to say, rahimahullah ta'ala, at-tasfiyah, he says, tasfiyah, cleansing of Islam, of that which entered into it, whether it's from beliefs, and we pointed to some of it before, like he said, or what has entered into the tafsir from the Israeliyat, from the narrations of Israeliyat, or hadith, mawdu'at, that's a hadith, mawdu'at, fabricated hadith, that's false, or what has entered the books of fiqh, from the opinions which is against the Qur'an and the Sunnah, and what entered into the mannerisms of Islam, of the Muslims, from excessiveness and zuhud from the dunya, abstaining from the dunya, and what they called at-tasawwuf sufiya, and their affairs reached the point that they deny Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning the sufiya. They believe that there is nothing except this existence, to the end of what's from the affairs which entered into Islam. And it is assumed to be from Islam. It is a must to carry out this tasfiyah, this cleansing. If there were thousands of Muslim scholars distributed in the Islamic world with their diligent efforts for long years, until the Muslims return to that which the Salaf al-Salih were upon, from understanding that Sahih from the Qur'an and the Sunnah accompanied with deeds, that's what I mean by tarbiyah. And some of the people has a misunderstanding, the way I heard in some, I believe he said maybe in some sittings or maybe some books, the word wasn't clear, that tarbiyah has nothing to do with jihad. He says, the Shaykh rahimahullah ta'ala, a jihad is from the legislative rulings, and doing jihad is a must. But, he said, a jihad needs preparation. And the first preparation, which is a must, is that the Muslims are established in the correct aqidah and righteous deeds and preparation as much as they are able to. And he said the ayah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah translated mean Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not bear burden a soul more than he is able to bear.
قال قول إذا اهتدى مسلم لطريق الخير اهتدى مسلم لطريق الخير يقولون لا بد من شيخ يأخذ عنه الطريق لأن الله تعالى يقول الرحمن فاسأل به خبير.
If a Muslim follows the way of good, they say it is a must that he has a sheikh, which he takes from him a path. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ar-Rahman fas'al bihi khabira, are translated to mean the most beneficial. Allah, ask him, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, concerning his qualities, his rising above his throne, his creation, etc., as he is Al-Khabir, the all-knower of everything.
صدق الله فاسأل به خبيرا والله عز وجل يقول أيضا فاسألوا هذا الذكر إن كنتم لا تعلمون والنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال في قصة ذلك الرجل الذي كان غازيا مع جماعة من أصحاب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فأصيب بجراحات فأصبح ذات صباح محتلما قد وجب عليه الغسل فسأل من حوله أيجدون له رخصة في أن لا يغتسل فقالوا له لا بد لك من الغسل فاغتسل فمات بسبب الجراحات التي كانت في بدنه فلما بلغ خبره رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال قتلوه قاتلهم الله ألا سألوا حين جهلوا فإنما شفاء العي سؤال بين المذكورتين آنفا. وهذا الحديث يجعل العالم الإسلامي من حيث العلم والجهل قسمين، قسم وهو الأقل هم أهل العلم، والقسم الآخر وهو الأكثر وهم الذين لا يعلمون، كما سمعتم في الآية السابقة فاسألوا أهل الذكر إن كنتم لا تعلمون. فأوجب على كل من القسمين واجبا، أوجب على من لا يعلمون أن يسألوا على الذكر، وأوجب على هؤلاء أن يجيبوا السائل، كما صح عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من سئل عن علم فكتم ألجم يوم القيامة بلجام من نار. فلا بد لمن لم يكن عالما أن يكون طالب علم، أو على الأقل أن يسأل أهل العلم، كما جاء في الأثر عن معاذ رضي الله تعالى عنه أنه قال كن عالما أو متعلما أو مستمعا ولا تكن الرابع فتهلك، أي لا أنت تستمع للعلم ولا تسأل عنه فحينئذ تعيش جاهلا لا تعرف كيف تعبد الله تبارك وتعالى. فسؤال أهل العلم مسألة لا خلاف فيها، أما اتخاذ شيخ طريق فقد عرفتم أن الطريق الموصل إلى الله تبارك وتعالى هو هذا الصراط المستقيم الذي تركنا عليه نبينا الكريم صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، والعلماء هم الأدلاء على هذا الطريق، فهم الذين يجب أن يسألوا، ولا يجوز للمسلم أن يتخذ شيخا يخصه باتباعه وبالتعلم منه دون العلماء الآخرين، لأنه هنا يقع خطأ فاحش، وهو أنه كما يجب علينا أن نوحد الله عز وجل في عبادته، فيجب علينا أن نفرد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في اتباعه، فلا يجوز أن نتخذ متبوعا فردا من بين العلماء مهما كان العالم منهم على وسماء في العلم والفضل. فهذه المنزلة ليست إلا لرسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، وذلك من معاني قول المتشهد أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمد عبده ورسوله، فهو متبوعه من بين البشر. فاتخاذ المسلم شيخا واحدا أو معلما واحدا يعلمه لا يستفيد من المشايخ الآخرين والعلماء الآخرين علما، هذا إخلال في اتباع الرسول عليه السلام، لأن كل العلماء ينبغي أن يتخذوا أدلاء يدلوننا على ما كان عليه رسولنا صلوات الله وسلامه عليه. والعالم الواحد مهما أوتي من العلم فالأمر فيه وفي حق كل عالم، كما قال الله عز وجل: وما أوتيتم من العلم إلا قليلا. فهذه خرافة صوفية قديمة أنه يجب على كل مسلم أن يتخذ شيخا. نحن نقول يجب على كل مسلم أن يكون عالما أو متعلما أو مستمعا، وإلا كان هالكا. أما أن يتخذ شيخا وحيدا فريدا فهذا من عمل الشيطان. نسأل الله تبارك وتعالى أن يوفقنا جميعا لاتباع الكتاب والسنة وعلى ما كان عليه سلفنا الصالح، وأن يبعدنا عن تتبع الطرق التي على رأس كل طريق منها الشيطان يدعو الناس إليه، وأن هذا صراطي مستقيما فاتبعوه ولا تتبعوا السبل فتفرق بكم عن سبيله، والحمد لله رب العالمين.
The Shaykh رحمه الله تعالى, he goes on as he answers. He says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is truthful when he says, فَاسْأَلْ بِهِ خَبِيرًا, as translated, the most beneficial, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ask him, O Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Again, the most beneficial, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ask him, and in parentheses, O Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, concerning his qualities, his rising over his throne, his creation, etc., and the parentheses, as he is al-khabir, the all-knower of everything. This is what the Shaykh says. He's meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's truthful when he says this ayat. He says, and he also said, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. He also says, ask the people of knowledge if you do not know. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said in the story of that man who was in the battle with a group of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he was afflicted with wounds. So he woke up after being asleep. He woke up that morning. He had a dream which he needed to make ghusl. So he asked those around him, do they see an excuse for him to not make a ghusl because of the wounds, obviously? They said to him, it is a must that you make ghusl. He took a ghusl and he died because of the wounds which were on his body. When his news reached the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, they killed him. May Allah destroy them. Why didn't they ask if they were ignorant of something? For verily the cure for ignorance is the question. May Allah destroy them. Why didn't they ask if they did not know? Verily the cure for ignorance is the question. No doubt, as the Shaykh goes on to say, no doubt that in the two ayats mentioned and the hadith makes the Islamic world from the point of knowledge and ignorance. He's saying they're divided into two categories. A category which is the least, meaning they're not plentiful. They are the people of knowledge. And the other category which is plentiful, they are in abundance, they are the ones who do not know. As you heard in the past ayah, in the past verse, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Ask the people of knowledge if you do not know. So he made it mandatory for all of the two categories. Both groups, there was something that was wajib for them. He made it mandatory for those who do not know to ask the people of knowledge. And he made it wajib upon those who know, meaning the scholars, the people of knowledge, that they answer the questioner. That like it is sahih regarding the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when as translated, he said, if someone is asked about knowledge and he hides it,
then the fire, يوم القيامة, is a must for him. So the Shaykh, he goes on to say, it's a must for the one that's not an alim, he's not a scholar, that he be talibu ilm, he be a seeker of knowledge, or at least he asks the people of knowledge. Like it comes in an athar of Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala an, he says, be a scholar, or be a learned one, or be one who listens, and do not be from the fourth, or you will be destroyed. So the Shaykh, he goes on to say, he says here, meaning, do not listen to knowledge and not ask about it, for then you will live ignorant, not knowing how to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, the questioning of the people of knowledge, as for taking a sheikh of tariq, meaning this is from the Sufi sect here, this is what they do, they take a sheikh of their tariq. The sheikh, he goes on, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, indeed, you know that the road which leads to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is this straight road which our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left us upon. And the scholars, they are the pointers to this road. It is not permissible for the Muslim to take a specific sheikh to follow him, to learn from him, and not the others. Because here he falls into an evil mistake. Like it is a must to single out Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his worship, then it's a must to single out the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his following. And it is not permissible to follow a single person alone from the scholars, no matter who the scholar is, no matter how high his level is. This level is not except for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. From the meaning of the one who makes the shahada, he testifies, La ilaha illallah. He testifies that there is no deity truly worthy of being worshipped except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he testifies, Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. And he testifies that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave, servant, and messenger. So, Shaykh rahimahullah ta'ala, going on, he says, so, he is followed by humans. So, a Muslim taking one Shaykh or one teacher who teaches him, not learning from the other sheikhs, and the other scholars, knowledge-wise, he says he's not learning from the other sheikhs and the other scholars, knowledge-wise. This is an infraction in the following of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because all of the scholars, it is a must that we take from them, or we take them as guiders, guiding us to that which our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was upon. And the one scholar, no matter how much knowledge he has been given, he has something with him, meaning there is something that is deficient here. And in the reality of every sheikh, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, وَمَا أُوتِيتُم مِنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا, that you all have not been given knowledge except a little bit. The Shaykh, he says, so, this is superstitious Sufism. This is what he means in taking one Shaykh and you have to take a Shaykh. This is superstitious Sufism of old, that is a must on every Muslim to take a Shaykh. We say it is a must on every Muslim to be aliman, to be a scholar, or muta'allaman, a muta'alliman, to be someone that is learnt or is being taught, or be someone that listens, mustami'an, is someone that listens. If not, he is destroyed. As for taking one sheikh and only one sheikh, this is from the deeds of shaitan. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us follow the kitab, the Quran and the sunnah upon what the righteous predecessors were upon, and to make us far away from the following of the ways which at the head of every way shaitan is calling the people to it. And the Shaykh recited the verse, rahimahullah ta'ala, وَأَنَّ هَذَا صِرَاطِي مُسْتَقِيمًا فَاتَّبِعُوهُ وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا السُّبُلَ فَتَفَرَّقَ بِكُمْ عَن سَبِيلِهِ. And this is my straight path, follow it, and do not follow the different paths, for you all will be divided away from the correct path. And this is the end of the translation of these tremendous tapes from the Shaykh rahimahullah ta'ala. Usul al-da'wah as-salafiyyah wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa ala Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this something that will be a guide for the Muslims who were upon misunderstanding or who were upon misguidance from those deviant groups, that this be something that guide them to the way of a da'wah to salafiyyah, to the understanding of the righteous predecessors, to the way of the righteous salaf. Jazakumullahu khairan.